Tell you today to remind the Ches Yotavshin Pehe Rav Yossi Moore.
Right, morning everyone, morning. Just before we begin, we've got some Geshmaka summer shilas with swings and hammocks, whatever you want to call them, coming off trees, we're going to discuss this. Very Geshmaka pictures over here, got some Geshmaka shilas over here. I'm just a bit, call it in shock from a freezer that I've noticed. Someone's freezer. It's a Beko freezer. And when they bought it, it's a brand new freezer, they opened the door to hear if there's any motor that goes off. Usually when you open the door of a fridge, motors go off because they don't want the motor to start running when the door's open. They open the door of the freezer, they don't hear any motors going off. So they've just assumed that it's okay. There's no problem. You open the door of the freezer, no lights go on, nothing goes on. The only thing that happens is that after a bit of time, when the door's left open, it beeps. Just to tell you that, hang on, you can't keep your freezer door open. It's not a good thing. A lot of air is coming, a lot of cold is coming out of it. Therefore, close it. So they were always under the assumption that as long as you close the door within that time, they worked out it's close to a minute or something. So they just open it, take out the things that you need and close it, they were fine. Last night, we found out that is absolutely not the case. I opened the door of the freezer and I put my timer on. Take your phone, stopwatch. I put my timer on and 1 minute and 2 seconds. Beep, 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 beep. I close it. A few seconds later, I open it again. You don't hear any beeps. 1 minute and 2 seconds later, you hear the beep. Again and again and again. It's 1 minute and 2 seconds. We're in touch with the company, Beko. They just gave me an AI response, which is absolutely pathetic. You could just see it was one of these responses. And it's very clear that what's happening in such a freezer is that you are, as soon as you open the door, you are setting off a timer. That's what's happening. It's not thermostatic. If it was thermostatic, you can get away with it. Because you can say at the time that you open the door of the freezer, you didn't do anything. And if later the machine plans to do a system of a run by the thermostatic, that's not already yours. That's already Kroma. You can say it like Ichbaste. That's a different story. This is not the case. And I wouldn't be surprised if many others are the same. It's a bit of a shock because this person, they bought it already some time ago and it was very, very proud of it. They always knew to make sure to close it fast enough. It's going on a long time. A brand new freezer. And they were very proud to know that there's no LED light to go on. There is a light at the top, but that's always on, even when the door's closed. And every time they're opening that fridge, this week's parasha, it'd be a bit cringy, because every time you open that door, you are setting a timer. And when you close the door, you deactivated that timer. I'm not sure what's involved in that. But more importantly, when you open it, is that you've set off that timer. It's an interesting thing to avoid. And the solution was very, very straightforward, Baruch Hashem, in that case. I got one of the magnets, which are very popular around. I'm getting for £1.50 by someone local. And it was a funny place where it was. That magnet wasn't in the center. Usually it's in the center, either on the roof of it or on the side of it. Here, you just had to find the place of the door. It just slid the magnet around, and we found it. It's like two-thirds towards the right. It was like a random place, but nicely we found it. I opened it again, and you can hear that after a minute and 2 seconds, we left it on for 2 minutes, did it a few times, and you can't hear any timers, all finished timers, and there's no shaila. It's along the top, but typically it's usually in the middle. Sorry?
I've got a Beko
screen down. A Beko, yes.
It's actually not that problem,
yeah. Yeah, so the response they gave me on the Beko, is it called Beko, whatever it is, they said that it depends where the freezer is. If it's cold outside, not cold outside. We checked that freezer, whether it was cold, whether it's not cold, and we opened it a few times. If it was thermostatic, then after it's open already, and you closed it, then when you open it again, after a few seconds, it should go on. Not exactly 1 minute and 2 seconds every time. I think we did about 7-8 times. 1 minute and 2 seconds every single time. So that's just point number one to take into account. This week's parasha. Sorry?
No, shy of closing that freezer as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, closing the freezer, I guess, could be. We weren't sure about closing the freezer, because if you close it, closing it could be you're not deactivating anything. The main thing is the problem when you're opening it. They're always under the assumption when you open that freezer, you've done nothing wrong. Why? Because nothing's happened. It's not true. You've set off a timer, which is going to go off. You've set off some timer. I don't know what it is. Someone would have to explain if it's not the case. It's certainly the case. So you've set off a timer. It's a brand new machine. You have to be updated with what's going on. It's definitely the case. 1 minute and 2 seconds every single time was the case. Therefore, it seems very... Sorry? Now, very, very good point. You're going to bring up the point, that a person doesn't care. In fact, he doesn't even want this alarm to go on. It's a nightmare when it goes off. So you're mentioning, why is it not lo ichbasle? This is a very interesting point, where the poskim say lo ichbasle very freely when it comes to passing by sensor lights. Have you ever heard that people think it's a very severe shaila? It is severe if it's very dark, and there's a chashash you'll trip up. But if there's plenty light out there, you shouldn't feel too bad. And they explain because lo ichbasle, especially LED lights, so the rabbonon. The funny thing is that when it comes to fridges and freezers, no one allows this sora le'ichmasle. In fact, the Or Chashav has got a whole big ha'orah to explain the difference between why the poskim are okay with walking in the street, where it's just a mice about alma, you're going along with your business, and you're not doing an act, you're not doing a positive act, you're just carrying on life as if nothing happened. That is Rav Shmuel Vosner's, he said that's okay, there's a lot more others to Rufin to be makel. Whereas when it comes to here, when you're doing an act of opening something, and another, this gets a bit nitty gritty, exactly why. Chashab has got three reasons why you wouldn't apply the same heter which you correctly mentioned. I think it's a very good point. This is made why are we making such a fuss about this freezer? It's lo ichbasle. For a start, sorry?
You're not dependent on the beep to close the fridge. You're freezer, you're going to close it.
On
the beep.
Your point was very strongly. That what we're making a fuss about opening the door of the freezer, and you're setting off an alarm straight away, is like ichbasli, you don't care about that alarm, right? That's your point. And that point is very well addressed in the poskim to say that holds true when it comes to going about your daily life in a way that you're not doing an act, you're just walking by CCTV shiners. That's where it's registered from Shmuel Vosner. When it comes to doing an act, you've got three reasons to say why the poskim were not happy to say that lo ichbasli would be a heter. A lot of people are stuck in holiday houses and then they realize a minute before Shabbos that the fridge light goes on. Are you going to suggest that you can open it on Shabbos because it's like ichbasle? Let's say nowadays you have a very well lit kitchen and you've got a fridge which all the LED lights shine and you got it tells you a screen at the front exactly how many degrees it is. Are you going to suggest that it's like ichbasle? Therefore, just carry on life as normal. So the poskim, which is an aura, why not? Why take an aura? Why are we making such a fuss? So the solution is whenever you go away for a holiday, always take with a timer, a time switch. So you can put the fridge on the timer. So you know every half an hour, every quarter of an hour, that's usually the best solution. But the poskim are not happy to apply the heter of sikresha to the ichbasle. There's very very few reasons. There's another reason, Rav Shlomo. I don't want to get rushed off. I've got loads to say. Wow, we typically do this. We come along. We've got through the first bit of the freezer bit, and we're going to we'll discuss over here that there's an issue with opening the door because you're setting off a timer. Using the het of le'ichbasle is not really mekubel, at least a lechatchil way to do that. This is why I want to move on because there's so much to say over here. I'm just going to mention very, very briefly, it comes to, we've got the times of Sfiras HaOmer, and when you mention the Shavua, there's a, Rav Moshe Shtemach mentions that when you say, let's say it's 3 weeks, let's say Shavuos or Shavuos? So Shavuos is really Shavua.
Torah says Shavuot.
The thing is, it's got a Shavuot.
Why is it different?
Shavuot.
Shavuot.
No,
time is week, 2 weeks.
Right, Shavuot.
So what's the one week? Shavuot. Why
do you have to say with a comma? I think it's with a comma, so Shavuot.
No, comma says Shavuot.
Right, why did you say that? You have to see. Yeah, but either way, now Shlosha Shavuot. Right? How many weeks are we up to? Right, Shlosha Shavuot. Is it Shah or is it Shah? Shah, right? It's not so clear. If you mention Shah, it's not so clear. If it's Ma'akah, probably not so Ma'akah, but Zechalach HaTchilah to mention Shah.
Shavuot.
Which one? Where are you quoting? Where is this?
The Shvot Shivu Ayim is 2 weeks, but the Shvot Tumah is Pashas Azriah. So why Shivu Ayim is 1 week?
Okay. Right. Okay. He's giving us some homework, but we're going to get back to that. Then the next nakuda I find is very important. This one is that us English people, when we read in the front of the shul, we can see Hayoim, whatever it is, 3 weeks, yeah, and we read it, which is 3 weeks and 2 days, whatever it is, and sometimes after a busy day, we just read it. We're doing the reading because we know that it's, let's say it's Esra Shlosha Esra Yoim, right? So you're looking at it. And you just look at it, and you just say it. But if someone would ask you straight away, you know, how many days was it today? For us to convert the Esrim to 2 weeks and 6 days, yeah, is you need something in the brain, and you need to activate to actually change it, right? So it's important. Mishabura in fact says that really Sfiris HaEmek could be done in any lashon, and he says here this is a chap. If you bench, you do benching. In Lashon HaKodesh, but you don't understand the word of it, you're Yotza. So Mishabura, when it comes to Sfiris HaYom, if you say Esrim Yom Shem Shem Shem, you're not Yotza, because you don't know what you're counting. So I think for us English people, maybe for Israelis it's easier, you look at the front of the shul and it says Hayom Esrim, so typically they straight away convert in their mind. But for us to take Esrim and to start dealing with the 2 weeks and the 6 days, it's got to be that you're knowing what you're counting. So that's an interesting thought. What would you say to a child? A child came over to me, very upset that he missed a day. A child under Bar Mitzvah. And they get very involved. Kanayna Hora, it's so nice to see that the children get so involved. They made the whole plaque in school, you know, with the whole turning thing with two wheels and the whole zach with the Sfiris HaOmer. And for him, he's very upset that he's missing the Sfira. What would you say? Would he be able to continue with the Brocha Poshet? He feels, maybe, perhaps, on one hand, he's under Bar Mitzvah. So you want to be mechanachim to do mitzvahs. What? So you're going to tell him scrap the whole sphere because you forgot one day, and then he's not mechunach bar mitzvahs. All these say no. You want to be mechanachim to do it as when you're older, that he should do it properly. And if he's missed that one day, then he can't do it. What would you say to such a shaila? There's a lot of raid on the poskim when he medamer to the arba minim is a chiddush and mishabura that if you take an arba minim, right, and you give it to a child and it's not lochem, an adult can't be yotza, but a child's machloket big deyesha and others. Whether he has to have a din lochem, does it have to actually belong to you? Is a shita holder doesn't have to have the dini mitzvah. There's a lot of raise the kam and the kam the maisa. It seems that it's probably better that he doesn't carry on with the brocha. There's a maisa. You want to be mechanechem to do the mitzvah like it is properly, and when he's older.
To say the brocha, you're teaching him something wrong.
Exactly. If you that spells it out well. That if you're going to tell him to make a brocha, and just it doesn't matter. Then you're teaching him that when he's older, it doesn't matter if he misses out a day. So it might sound a bit harsh, but the mindset sounds like the correct thing to do. Here's the interesting part. This is the old problem. That the Talmid of Bashem Tov, they said that if you forget one day, carry on with the bracha. Be so much on the shittas who hold that every day is a mitzvah. Why? Because they said, once we tell you that you're not part of the mitzvah, then people typically say, okay, then scrap it, and they don't bother counting, right? And if they don't bother counting, they don't realize that most shittas hold that every day is a mitzvah. It's just they can't make a brocha. But then they miss out. If you're going to tell them don't make a brocha, then they think in their mind they're not part of the Sfiris HaOmer, and they don't even do that. Therefore, he says it's better to tell them to carry on with the brocha so that they feel part of it. Really, the Litvaks will say that no, hang on a second, carry on with our brocha because it's very, very important to do the counting without a brocha. Just don't make a brocha because it's a sofek. But their reasoning was that people don't like the idea of, you know, they're in it, but they can't make a brocha, it's a halba masa. Okay, here's the interesting thing. Let's say there's an engagement. You go to an engagement, and it's very, very common after an engagement, after they break the plate, to break out into a nice dance. Now, in the Yemei HaSfira, is it okay to just have a small dance? However small it may look, and it's only a 1 minute it's not even a major dance, right? What would you say? Such a thing in the Yemei HaSfira. Is that okay, or is it over the top to start saying it's a problem? What's the shaila over here? You should know when it comes to a Sudas Mitzvah, let's say a Sheva Brochas, a Bar Mitzvah, these sort of things are Mamish Mutter. You can make Adin, you can have music, someone makes Bar Mitzvah, or Sheva Brochas still. You can make Sheva Brochas? Not yet. Nah, you can't really, it's already finished. But if make Adin, Ramosha says clearly, if someone makes Chasna before Rosh Chodesh, then even those after Rosh Chodesh, you can have music. But all that is regarding Sudas Mitzvah. Regarding Sudas Mitzvah, that's always okay. But an engagement, however nice it may be, the end of the day, it's not called a Sudas Mitzvah. And the Mishabura says, even a Rikud u'mecholos is a problem. Rikud means one person jumping with both feet off the ground. And mecholos is without jumping. It's just having a circle of people going around, even standing, is already a problem. Mecholos is in people gathering together in a circle. So it's very interesting. When it comes to the Yemei Sfira, mecholos is also a problem even without Rikud. You know, on Shabbos, let's say you have a Sheva Brachos, so are you allowed to just walk around holding hands? There's no real Issa. There's no Issa Mecholos. Making a circle of people's no Issa. There's only an issue of Rikud. Shet Mefurish in Torah Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, Rav Eliyahu. Many shittas held, Rav Avadi Yosef, they all taina that the Issa of Rikud on Shabbos, that was scared that he might lead to him being Masakan Mona, he might come to being Masakan Akeli, a cliche. That's only when you got both feet off the ground. You know, when you go to a chasna, what's the difference between the inner circle and the outer circle? Besides for the age. What's the difference between them? The people in the middle are doing horah. They're doing two and three. Or your neighbor's doing three and one, and you're doing one and three. Yeah. And then that's the middle. You've got both feet off the ground. You've got both feet off the ground. Well, not the whole time, but that's the idea. You're both feet off the ground during the dance. Whereas when it comes to the outer circle, only one foot is off the ground. At no time is both feet off the ground. That's the difference between the two. On Shabbos, the only Issa Rikud is when both feet off the ground, as I state in the Torah Shabbos, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, they want to tie into that. So therefore, a regular Sheva Brachos on Shabbos, Bar Mitzvah on Shabbos, there's no issue to have a nice Oyed Shabbos. No, that's not going to be the problem in Shabbos. When it comes to Yemei HaSfira, there's a separate issue of Mecholos, which is a circle, making a circle and dancing in a circle, even if it's not both feet off the ground. That is going to be a problem as long as it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So if you have a Sudas Mitzvah, fine. But if it's not a Sudas Mitzvah, you've got a problem, Yemei HaSfira, to have the Mecholos. So when it comes to an engagement, Mecholos, that should be a problem. No problem singing. But the problem to form a circle, that could be an issue. Very interesting, someone's asking about Boi Chala, when they do Lechadoidi, some shuls, a few shuls here in town, they do they call it a rakida. It's not much of a rakida. It's just walking around, holding hands together. So would you say mecholos is a problem when it comes to Boi Rishonim HaPerek Bala, and they want to sing, they want to get in a circle? Is there a problem on Shabbos? So really, it shouldn't be a problem on Shabbos. So if a shul doesn't usually make a dance, and this week they want to because they have someone special or something, mecholos should kick in. Because on Shabbos, Tvorah Shabbat Sinner is Noek. But if they always make a dance by Boi Rishonim, and this week they especially don't, that could be considered as a Tvorah Shabbat Farhesia on Shabbos, you can't do Avedah Shabbat Farhesia, so then they can get away with it. So a shul that always does a bit of a dance by Boi Rishonim, that's fine. But if they don't always, but this week they want to especially do it, Echvis is the outside of someone, That's going to be a bit of a problem on Shabbos because of the Yemei HaSfira. So it's interesting how it plays out. There's different halachas that apply to different things. You've got the Shabbos Rikud and you've got the Sfira of Mecholos. Anyway. So any Sudas Mitzvah, very interesting. Any Sudas Mitzvah, Lav Dafka Chos Mekala, it could be a Siyam. You know, someone made a Siyam. Even the Shano, very, very interesting. This is it. Even if someone makes a Siyam, even. If someone makes a siyum, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, he can even have music me'ikad in. You'll find that if you make a siyum, just go through Bob Basra quickly, and then we can make a siyum after the shay, and you can make a siyum me'ikad in, cliché muta. They all write this. It's just the reason why people don't like doing it is because it plays on people's nerves. In their mind, they know they don't have it. If it's a communal thing, people get nervous. Rav Eliyahu already said, if you want to make it, they asked him about making a chnos sefer Torah in the Yemei HaSfira. He said, "Meikadin, you can add music as well." He said, "Don't plan it to be in the Yemei HaSfira." You know, in America, some places, some restaurants, they order people to make siyumim in the 9 days so that they should be able to have meat. So Mishra Berurah clearly doesn't like it because you can't arrange it. But certainly, so they can make the same thing over here. They can make music. It should be Masayim and Masechta every day of the Yemei HaSfira, and then they can make music. Ikadin, it should be okay, but what Rav Eliyahu mentioned, don't plan it for that. So if let's say you somehow managed to finish Masechta, Sanhedrin, whatever it is, you finished it today, strictly speaking, there's nothing stopping you having Klesha. That's Mufurish. Again? You should know that, very, very good. That is some music. It's Mefurish in Tovku of Samach, where it says you shouldn't have music stum during the year, which we make all nowadays, I'm sure, in Mashak. there itself says that by Sudas Mitzvah it's okay. It's very, you should notice, it's a bit mind-boggling to keep cheshbon of all the, where is mutter, where is not. He's mentioned like this, there's an Issur in Shulchan Aruch not to have music throughout the whole year. Right? We'll make all stamazoi, because the Shum Mashag, there's many reasons why. Because it's Mesh of the Nefesh, a bit, you know, a bit low spirited and all the rest of it. But even that Issa itself is Mutter, Mokke Mitzvah, Sudas Mitzvah. But then you have Mini Yerushalayim, which don't like it even by Sudas Mitzvah. So you have to juggle all the various things that's going on. Here's the main thing I want to discuss today. And that is Mishtamash Be'ilam. That was just Divrei Hakdamah to what we're going to discuss. If you look over here, we're coming to the summer months, and now people like to open the back door, the patio doors, and see what's going on over there. They get the garden out, and they'll be able to go outside in the back and have a bit of fresh air. So over here, you have a normal, regular swing in the back garden, where you can have a swing, and they attach it to the branch of a tree. So, can you go, they have it for the children, the grandchildren come over to the back garden, instead of having a swing, which is supported on just regular frames, they can't be bothered for frames. Frames get in the way in the garden, it's like a bit of a nuisance. So they just want to wrap it round the branch of a tree. They've got a very strong branch over here at the top. It's quite firm. And they want to wrap around the branch, they want to wrap it with the ropes that it comes with. You can get very cheap. It's just a seat, it's just a swing seat, and with a bit of it's a rope and another rope and a link. Is that okay to swing on it on Shabbos Kodesh? You've got all the children coming around, the grandchildren coming around. Can you swing on it on Shabbos or not? What's the issue? Mishtamash Be'ilon. So the Mishtamash Be'ilon is already a Gemara that says that you can't go up on a tree on Shabbos. It's unfortunately people don't know this. I go to the park regularly. You can see some things going on Shabbos. One of them is, by the way, when you go to Broughton Park, sometimes they see a pasha that they don't know, is feeding the ducks on Shabbos. They take the shirayim from the challah, and they think they're doing world's biggest mitzvah by feeding the ducks. It's like a good zach. It shows rachum of akomasov. You're giving the ducks food. So you'll have the people locally saying that it's going to bring the rats and all that. But leave that aside. I'm talking about the halacha bit of it, by taking the shirayim from the challah, which is itself a shayla, and giving it to the ducks on Shabbos. It's already a chilul Shabbos, but you know, sometimes before Hesia when they have the park's full, because there's an issa of tircha on Shabbos to feed ducks which don't belong to you. If they belong to you or to someone, as it belongs to your neighbor, so it's fine. The halacha already speaks about it. You can give it to behemoth chaver is also okay. But if you go with a bag on Shabbos afternoon and you give that to all your children to give out to the ducks, that is Kenega the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. So that's number one. There's a lot of things going on in the park which needs a separate shmuz in itself. And one of the things that we saw, you know, climbing on a tree, the halacha is if someone climbs on a tree, bemazes on Shabbos, he has to stay there the whole Shabbos. That's another interesting, there's a few loopholes there. But anyway, so here the shaila is, when you have... So going up on a tree is one thing. There's also leaning on a tree is also another issue on Shabbos, to lean. You know, sometimes you're stuck in a conversation and you're leaning. You lean on something, you lean on a wall, that's fine. You lean on a tree, to put all your weight on a tree is also called Mishtamash Be'ilon. That's the Shaila, if you have someone leaning on a car. What's better, to lean on a car? Let's say you need to lean something. It's hurting your back, you're deep in a conversation, you're talking about something very important, and you need to lean somewhere. Should you lean on a tree or should you lean on a car? So now, a car, it might not look Shabbos-tick, people, they don't like the idea of it, but end of the day, there's no issa leaning on a car, unless you've got a special car, you know, Tesla, you know, people that, but there's no real issue leaning on a car on Shabbos. Muksa is already klachayat, it's not the regular way of moving it, it's not so clear it moves, so, well, it can move, so that's not the real issue, but to lean on a tree with a lot of koyach, that's going to be called Mishtamash Be'ilon as well. So that's definitely something, that's going to be a problem. But here is a chiddush that most people are not aware of. That's definitely not the case. And that is, when you to rest something on a tree on Shabbos is also an issue. Let's say you have a garden chair, and you want to rest it on a tree. Right? You take a broom outside, brooms could be a shadow, but let's say you want to just lean it on the side of a tree. You lean it on a tree, it's also, Mishabura mentions, that's also going to be a problem, because it's leaning on a tree, it's called Mishlamash Be'ilon. And to take it off the tree, you know, just you can't take something off a tree as well. That's when you have everyone knows the story about the stipler that he was right with the coat. Right, so you don't even mention the story anymore. It's such a blubber story that he was supposed to be looking after the area there, and he was freezing. It was very cold over there, and there was a coat that left for him, but it was on a branch. So he was very machmo, and he pushed it. The Meister, he said that it really had a heter too, because it was from the branch of Pikoach Nefesh Shaila, but the Meister, he pushed it, and he didn't take it off. The people have the Shailas the whole time with the hat. Some told me he bought a new hat, and then the first week that he bought it, the wind blew it off, and it went on a bush. Bush has the same halacha as a tree, when it's more than three tefachim. So it's a normal halacha, and he wants a brand new hat, and the Kanana Hoi, they cost a fortune these days. And he wants to know, can he take it off the tree? Is it raining and everything? It's not so posh. There's a shulman shevet halevi wants to try and be making on the pashas. Is what he did was correct. He asked a goy to take it off, or to be making on to take it off is like limud is chutz, but it's not the pashas. So when it comes to trees, it's something which is very tricky. A ball, children playing ball on Shabbos, and then they kick it and it goes on a bush, and you think you're doing a mitzvah, you get hold of a broomstick and then you knock it out. The man says it's on the tree, it's a problem. If Shlomzan's got a chiddush, he says if the tree was, let's say you played football on Erev Shabbos and the ball got stuck in the tree, and during Bein HaShmoshes the ball was there, and even if it comes down later and it says the wind blew off or you took off, it's muksa the whole Shabbos, because Migadis Katsoy Bein HaShmoshes, at the time that Bein HaShmoshes is on the tree, you can use it, so it's Katsoy Lekula Yoma. So there are pikpokim on that chiddush, the man Shlomzan was held on that. Okay, back to our Shaila, Mishtamash Be'ilon also applies to something which is coming off a tree directly. So if over here you have a rope coming straight off the tree, that's going to be a problem to even sit on the swing. Abaya, the Gemara says, Abaya found his Rebbe, Rabba. His Rebbe was called Rabba, and he saw Rabba on Shabbos afternoon sliding his child off the side of an animal, off the side of a chamoy. Abaya Ashkechei Rabba, he saw Rabba sliding. Rashi says, Mishashea Betinoik. He was giving his son a good time, Shabbos afternoon. You see, Amoraim, who didn't even have time for, Gemara says about Abaya, he didn't have time for Chazal Zashatz and all these, because he was so busy learning and all that. Lemaisa, you can see that they gave time for the children Shabbos afternoon, so he was busy sliding his child on the side of a behema. Abaya says, Mishtamash per behema, the same halacha with a behema and a behema and an ilam. Okay, so the Gemara paskins on the side of an animal directly is a problem. But on the sidet stodim, if it's twice indirect, that's okay. But this one is only once indirect. If a person sits himself on this swing, it's only once indirect, because he's not on the tree itself, he's indirectly on the swing. Here you have where you can have a bit of a grey area is, so twice indirect would mean if you take the swing and you hook it onto a hook which is on the branch. So let's say you take hooks and you screw hooks into a branch. Then you take your rope and you wrap it around that hook. Or let's say you take a chain. Just for argument's sake, you take a chain and put it around the tree, and then off that chain, you put your swing. That's called twice indirect. That's going to be okay on Shabbos. You can sit on the tree. You can sit on the swing as long as it doesn't move. Here's the Shaila is, what's called twice indirect? What happens when you have one keli, which is made of a few different things? Like even this has got a loop, it's got another rope. Is that called one keli, or is it called twice indirect already? This is where you have a shayla. Look at this. This is an interesting one. Where you've got, during COVID, they had in Stamford Hill, they had a minion outside. And where do you make a shtender? So you take a tree, they made a shtender over here. You've got two pieces of wood coming off the tree. And you've got a plank of wood to put the siddur. And you've got over here, top the alfis, representing the luchas. And you've got the pishka, you've got the stock of pishka as well. Yeah. It's all geared up. Kids, they want to know on Shabbos, can they put, there's an Erev there, can they put a siddur on top of the shtender? That was the shayla that was going around. So over here, it could be a shayla of mishtamash be'ilon. I think there's a bit of a problem to put a siddur here, because you're putting a siddur directly on a shtender, which is coming directly off the tree. To claim that is twice the indirect, because there's a plank and then a plank coming off that, is Pasha's called one keli. The Sha'atzi and the Shin Hei, Sivkotan Samach, mentions the Sulam. What happens if you have a ladder and you go up the rungs? Can you claim that it's indirect because you're not touching the two sides, you're touching the rungs? He says it's one keli. If it's looked at as one set, you can't claim it's twice the indirect. Like in our first case, you can't say that you're sitting, this is okay because it's twice the indirect, because the ropes are going into the link, and the link is going to another rope. It's all one case, so that's going to be an issue. And the same goes with our last case, very similar case as well, where you've got like a hammock style, also a swing style, and it's various ropes. You've got three ropes, first you're going into a link, and then it's going another rope, but it's all one set. That's how you buy in the shop. That's l'choya, the pasha is going to be considered once direct, and that's going to be a bit of an issue. You'll have to be twice direct, has to be using a different thing. Either you get a chain, put the chain around the tree, and then coming off that chain, then that would be called twice indirect, because that's a different set. So all these halachas, again, we're talking about a very, very neged. People are having it in their back gardens. Sometimes years can go by without realizing that although they're having a good time, but it's a problem to go on it. If you went on it, it could be you have to stay there the whole Shabbos. There's all shilas over here, so it's something to take into account.
And you sit on a tree stump, so you've had to chuck the thing.
That is a big debate. A lot of posts are making on that, because if it's a dead thing, there's no chashash. So if it's cut off completely, then that could be.
You have to put a hook in the tree.
Sure.
You have to put a hook in the tree. You have to put a hook in the tree. Amen.